Gary, can I make a quick response to that? As you well know, you mentioned the name Josephus there as a Jewish historian, and of course he's a very important source. And everybody knows that the single paragraph in the Antiquities of the Jews is at the minimum been tampered with, and in all probability is fake. And whatever else you might quote as a source, we are indebted to the Christian scribes for copies of them.
You said probability is what? That it's what? The quote in Josephus?
The paragraph that refers to the tribe of Christians is fake.
The whole paragraph?
Well, you see, that's the point. Yes, scholars do, I know, argue, well, a bit of this testimony has been fake, but not all of it. But, I mean, that's a pretty weak argument.
Now, listen, one guy in the world could hold something and be right. I'll admit that. But the almost total position in the world is there are phrases in there which are questionable, but the statement itself, the base statement, is correct. That testimony comes from James Charlesworth, Princeton University, not Liberty University's religion department. This comes from Princeton University. He's tallying up, this is his area, he tallies it up, majority of scholars. John Drain, another British scholar, Stirling University, says the same thing. So, sure, we can debate that. By the way, the three names I mentioned, Josephus has the least to say about this. Tacitus and Suetonius say more. Suetonius said it spread all the way around the Mediterranean and we failed to stamp it out when it came to Rome. That's a huge explosion of belief.
Let's move on to our next question, please. And there's a gentleman, I think, at the back in the green. Yep.
Firstly, I want to thank you both for your very vivid and interesting discussions. Like you said, Gary, there are an incredible amount of presuppositions that you both bring, and one of yours seems to be that good historiography means a watertight argument. And Ken, yours seems to be something along the lines that there's this Kantian-esque rational man that needs defending from some big bad wolf or something. But what my question really is just to take it away slightly from where you've been, is so what? I mean, if I was to believe either of your arguments, what's that got to do with anything? And we can see with the plurality of questions, there's an awful lot of claims to be said even on one issue. What is it about your arguments that means anything anyway? I mean, what is this rational man, Ken, and what's he meant to look like? And Gary, so what if your historiography is correct? What's that got to do with anything?
I did not hear it.
Okay, so the question was, if we take Ken's rational man, and if we take Gary's account of the resurrection of Jesus on historical grounds, what has that got to say to us today? I think that's the gist of the question. Yeah? Okay.
What does it have to say today?
What does it mean
and
for...
And did you ask both of us to respond?
Yes, he did.
Go ahead, Ken.
Well...
What would you say?
If I understand the question correctly, which and I did have difficulty hearing it, I'd say rational man has given us the modern world. Rational man makes it possible to us to be here and speak these words tonight. Christianity had its best shot for 15 centuries. And what did it give us? What did it give us? Wars, suffering, inhumanity, you know... Sorry? That's God. Has that stopped? Well, I doubt it. No, it hasn't. But, you know, the progress that humanity has made is thanks to rational man. Irrational man gave us nothing.
And here all I was ready to say something nice about preaching and whatnot. I have to say something. Take all the Christian atrocities you want to and dump them together. And I'm going to admit, Christians fail. Christians can be jerks. Christians can ignore Jesus, and they should have followed him. They didn't. And if they were more ethical, they would have done this and that. I admit that. But I will say this, and that I just saw the statistic the other day. Over 120 million deaths in the 20th century alone by atheistic regimes. Over 120. That doesn't solve anything. I'm just saying you can't say... Because Christians do these dastardly things, hey, let's look over the fence. Let's say what's going on over here. Okay, but the question itself, a great question. I would love to chat about, I mean, I'd like to spend the rest of my career talking about so what. I'd like to spend the rest of my career saying, what's the resurrection mean? I'm down here in this end of things because you can see tonight there's a lot of healthy questioning about it, and this is where I do my work. I think the resurrection speaks about a lot of things today. Let me just say one thing. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul, one of those authentic epistles, Paul says Christians grieve when they lose a loved one. He says they grieve, but not as those without hope. If the resurrection occurred, if. And that says something about an afterlife. If that or anything says something about an afterlife. I think grieving with hope is a tremendous difference and progress over grieving without hope. Now, Ken, I'm sure, is going to say, well, doesn't this all depend on whether the resurrection occurred or not? And if that's where he would go, that's what I would say if I were down there, and that's correct. But I think there's some good reasons for it, and so I would say, yeah, I think at the end of the day, it makes... Paul says, for example, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we don't have any ethics. Christians don't... You cannot base an objective ethical system on atheism. Have an ethical system, but you can't have an objective...
Do we want to live with illusions just because they make us feel good?
Well, right, but here's what we're debating tonight. Is it an illusion?
That is what we're debating.
In our universities.
Let's have one final question, please. And we will have... let's have the gentleman at the back there. There we go. Yes. In the blue top. Yep, that's you. Yep.
Thank you both very much. It's been very, very interesting. Professor... I really felt the need to pick up on something you said just there. I was going to ask a different question, but now you've given me what I think is a more interesting one to ask. I mean, you just said 120 million people were killed in atheist regimes in the 20th century. You've used the word atheist there, but I think what you mean is communist. Now, communism is only one atheist doctrine. It's not even the most popular one. In fact, my understanding is that there was significant collaboration by religious believers with communist regimes, and communism, to me, is no more rational, and I think what Kenneth has been defending tonight is rationalism above all. Communism, to me, is no more rational than any form of theism. I just wondered if you had any comment on that.
I'm sorry.
The question was, communism is no more rational than any form of theism, and that essentially that communism wasn't necessarily an atheistic belief. It was actually supported by Christians, according to the questioner.
It was what?
Supported by Christians or those holding some sort of Christian conviction.
Okay, and what are you asking me?
I mean, comment on that, because this is an argument that is used very regularly. As soon as the atrocities of religions are raised by the secular and what I would call the rational side, religious believers naturally fire backwards, but communism, dot, dot, dot. And I say, absolutely, communism, by me, was atrocious. I've never agreed with it. I've disagreed with communism for longer than I've disagreed with religion.
Thank you.
Okay. He said that communism, as you've painted it, that's not a correct picture of communism. It's not a correct picture of communism, I think.
Well, I mean, I don't have a lot to say. I think what you'd do is we'd have to sit down. I'm not a scholar in this area, but I think you'd have to put the different claims of the different regimes. All of them, as I understand them, are not communist. But I think you have to sit them down here and say, okay, if we want to evaluate this, we're going to say, here's the atrocities Christians committed, how many numbers, here's non-Christian. I think you're just going to have to sit down and count. I don't have any idea how you're going to get Christians and communism together, at least not as Christians are the ones that go to jail under this system, so I have a hard problem. I don't know. I don't know how we're going to solve this, but I think we just sit down and talk about stats. All I was doing was saying, if we make a response to Christians who, we should say atheists who. And listen, I'm willing to concede the following. All of us, let's put it this way, none of us lives up to his or her philosophy. We all fail. I'm just saying there's name-calling and, rock-throwing on both sides of the fence. That's basically where I was going. And Christians admit this, by the way. It's called sin. And you know, and Christians just say, you got us, we failed. I mean, if that's your point, fine. But I think we could sit down and talk about how much chaos. I think that would be another interesting question. Outside of that, I don't have much response.
We'll close off the Q&A there, and we'll just come to some closing statements. First from Gary, a few minutes, and then Ken, a few minutes. Some brief closing statements, please. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'll stand up again. I don't know if I'm supposed to. Folks, listen. I've already admitted from one of the questions earlier, I am a Christian. I make no qualms about it. I have many publications that say that. That's not my point. My point is this. Can I start with historical presuppositions by those who do not hold my view, those who would not hold anything close to a conservative Christian view of any sort? And can I use their data? And this entire argument I gave and the other points I made, undisputed Pauline epistles, points like that, do not come from my mindset, do not come from my position on the fence. In fact, this argument was not developed by conservatives at all. My point is that if we were to start with other non-Christian presuppositions, I think we have a basis to say that Jesus was raised from the dead. And my chief argument said, we can get back to 30 AD, we can talk about early eyewitness testimony. And I, you know, other things came up in the discussion, the give and take, and I started saying, I guess I went all around full circle to Ken's opening comment. And I said, no, it's not good that Christianity didn't die out. The very fact that it's alive and well at Edinburgh University, look at the group tonight. The very fact, now some of us want to stomp it out and some of us want to raise the flag, but the very fact that there are this many people tonight tells me it's a pretty exciting issue. I'll bet you don't all leave. I'll bet you we sit around and talk afterwards. It's a hot idea. And the fact that the head of the religion department here thinks good evidence, and all these other universities, and you can get away with it at Oxford and Cambridge. All I'm saying is, starting with these sorts of presuppositions, not mine, somebody else's, we can build a case for the early eyewitness testimony for the resurrection. Now, I think what comes out of this, and whenever the gospel is defined in the early church, is always the deity, death, resurrection of Jesus. My point was that all started from 30 AD, and the call of the New Testament is to exercise faith. Christians fail. Christians can be jerks. Christians can try to make money out of their preaching, and they shouldn't do it. I'm just saying there is a better form of Christianity that we all fail as Christians, if you take that name. We all fail to live up to it, but we still hold Jesus Christ up there, and I still have, I hope, a high view of each one of you. Ken and I hope, are going to be friends after this is over. I know from my viewpoint, hey, he's fun. And I really do wish he lived next door to me. That's what discussion is about. That's what's fun about this. And the fact that it's still alive and well tonight is because there's something to say besides, if all I said was, I've got faith. Any questions? If that's all I said tonight, you'd all have rushed out the door and say, what a lousy evening. It's because there's some data we can debate. I think that's exciting. I think that's an exciting basis to talk about, and I'll just say in closing, something exciting to, there are implications for our life. There are implications in ethics. There are implications for end of life, for suffering, as I said a moment ago. I think it's important, but it's not outdated.
Okay, I think in the resurrection, which is the subject of this debate, we are dealing with a fairy tale. It probably doesn't matter that many people believe strange and silly notions, but unfortunately, when it comes to religious ideas, we can't be quite as comfortable with that. There is a part of this planet called the Holy Land, and it is perhaps the most violent and dangerous place on the planet. I think the dangers of irrational belief always lurk. And after all, if its claim is that believing in a few questionable ideas gives you hope, then let's also remember Christianity at its heart has decided that we are all sinners that, you know, are unworthy of God's divine purpose. You know, it has a very pessimistic view. It applauds how servile behavior in front of this supposed God. It asks us to denigrate ourselves in order to be humble enough to be worthy of him. So I think religion has, and Christianity in particular, has some worrying aspects. And if that danger that lurks in a particular form of evangelical Christianity ever got its way, we would very rapidly move back to a novel version of the Dark Age. You know, welfare and the social programs would be handled by the church. Biblical law would replace civil law. I mean, there are tremendous dangers there. So although it would be nice if whether there was erection could be maintained as simply an academic belief, academic discussion that Gary and I could have fireside chats about, there is a very real danger there, and that's why we have to take a more positive stance in resisting these silly notions. Thank you.
Thank you again very much to Gary Habermas and Ken Humphreys, and thank you for coming. Good night.